During the time of Jesus in Israel, there were about 7,000 priests. Now, out of those 7,000 priests, they would take turns about going into what is called the Holy of Holies. That is, into the temple of God, and they would go behind the veil, behind the curtain, to one area there that only the priest were allowed to go to. Now, during this time period, it was very important that they made sure that they could get the priest out in case they died inside there, because nobody else was going to go in to get the priest. So they would tie a rope type of fiber around their leg, and that way, if he'd been in there too long, and they could pull him out without going in. You will see that at the time of Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection. Remember where the veil of the temple was split from the top? Which would let us know that at that particular point, everyone who called on the name of Jesus would have access directly to God the Father. That veil that was torn was made by human hands. The hands that tore that veil were not of human power, but the hands of God. Well, it fell a lot, or it was, now I don't want to say this where you'll think it's by chance, because it wasn't. Meaning that the priest looked at this other priest, his name's Zechariah, and it was cast to Zechariah, it is your turn to go in the Holy of Holies and offer our love and ask for the forgiveness of our people. He was to go in and praise God. Well, Zechariah goes in. And while he is in there, now Zechariah is up into the age by now. You can go back to Abraham, you can go back throughout Scripture where you'll find that these ornery men would say, oh no, I can't believe that. Well, the angel of God, his name's Gabriel, came into the presence of the Holy of Holies straight to Zechariah and said, Zechariah, your wife Elizabeth is going to bear a child, and you're to call him John. Zechariah looks at him, and Zechariah had doubt. And Gabriel saw that doubt, and Gabriel said to him at that time, because of your doubt that God can do these things, he said, because of your doubt, you will not be able to speak until the birth of your son, John. At the beginning of time, when God created Adam and Eve, we refer now to Adam as the first Adam. In New Testament, Jesus refers to himself, and so do the prophets and all, of the second Adam. In the era of the first Adam, you will find sin entered the heart of man. Even though it was by trickery from Satan. And from that point, you would see culture after culture after culture go against the women of their culture, that they were nothing more, in many cultures, slaves. Because they said, because she sinned. Well, you better think about that one. For one thing, she was tricked into it. And after she told her husband, Adam, this is the way it is, he took it. He wasn't even tricked. Looked good to him. Now, why am I telling you all of this? I'm telling you this because God has a plan. And Satan and all of he thinks of his power cannot destroy or overshadow God's plan. Amen. So God looks to the future of the coming of his Son that he will name the second Adam. And Jesus said the first Adam came from man. But I did not come from man, I came from heaven. I came from my Father. And you will see me going back to my Father. So this priest Zechariah fits into the story because Zechariah and Elizabeth, his wife, are going to have a son we know as John the Baptist, the forerunner to Jesus Christ, the second Adam. Where the first Adam messed up, Jesus, the second Adam, was going to clean it up. But he used godly women to do the cleaning. God bless them, they've been cleaning ever since. But it was the power of Almighty God that brought about and ushered in the birth of his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, the second Adam. Gospel of Luke chapter 1 verse 19. After Zechariah's questioning Gabriel, listen to me folks, if you're in a place and all of a sudden you witness this man or however means comes in your presence and you know in your heart that's an angel from God, please trust him. You know, God does know what he's doing. And here's what Gabriel told John as to the reason why that he would be mute until John was born. Luke 1:19. The angel answered, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. Do you hear me? I stand in the presence of God. And I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. Jesus is the good news. Gabriel brought good news. Whether people would accept the good news or not was not Gabriel's job. Gabriel said, look, I am in the presence of God, and God sent me here to tell you this. And Zechariah, are you not a priest? Why would you doubt me? And Zechariah was struck speechless. 6 months later, let's get the story together here. 6 months later, God says, Gabriel, I want you to go, and I want you to tell a young virgin girl by the name of Mary that you got good news for her. Let me read Luke 1:15. What he had told Zechariah to begin with was this. Zechariah, your prayers have been heard. Elizabeth will have a child. Name him John. Got it? Then he says, he will be great in the sight of the Lord. Folks, please listen. You and I, as God's children, are to focus on what our Lord and Savior has directed us to do. And we are to seek doing what God's will is in our life instead of the will of man. He will be great. And listen to this. And he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before birth. Woo! And you and I get to read about when that happened. You and I are trying to figure out, what is he talking about? So some people are born filled with the Holy Spirit and others aren't. And so does that mean then that God is unfair? Let me tell you, salvation is of Jesus Christ and no other. Jesus started witnessing who he was while he was still in the womb of his mother. That's the power of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Isn't it amazing? God chooses two godly women to straighten out the mess made by sinful heart of mankind. In that 6 months focus, remember Elizabeth becomes with child. Luke 1:30, 31 reads to us, as Gabriel goes to Mary, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus." Well, who does John think he is being named John? God gave him that name. What, Jesus? Where'd you get your name? From my Father. He gave it to me before I was conceived. You got to think about it. So therefore, God pulls these two godly women together, related to each other, and God says, "Now, here comes the good news. The son of Elizabeth, John the Baptist, is going to be a voice crying in the wilderness of a world full of sin. And in that crying throughout the wilderness of the world, God will allow John to proclaim, 'Thus saith the Lord.'" John was odd. If you ever read the story on him, when you're talking about him living in the wilderness, John lived in the wilderness. I mean, he had the personality of a backwoodsman. Not only that, he didn't worry about eating because he liked the bugs. He liked what was out there in the wilderness. Though he was from the wilderness, his heart was pure in the delight of the time to come. So John, Jesus called him later on the greatest prophet ever lived or known to man, was John the Baptist. And he was the roughest. Between him, Isaiah, and Ezekiel, they didn't cut anybody any slack. Why? Because he proclaimed, "Thus saith the Lord, not thus saith the world, so that I can make you feel good." But he used two godly women to bring it together. Luke 1:30 and 31, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus." Don't you think that her heart got just a little bit excited when he says to her, "You found favor with God"? Well, that's a good thing. Favor with God does not always equate to you being favored with men. The closer you walk to Jesus Christ, the closer you stand for the gospel of Jesus Christ, the more hell is going to be coming against you. So we must put on the armor of Almighty God and stand firm in His truth, no matter what the world will throw at us. Because I am commanded by God to love the world, but not to be a part of it. Remember? So Mary asked a question. You got to remember something here. She is not questioning God's orders. She is not saying, now Gabriel, prove to me that you are who you say. She knew who he was. But she asked his question, and then Gabriel gives her an answer. Luke 1, 34 and 35. Well, how will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so that the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. This is how, Mary, it's going to happen. And listen to her response. Luke 1:38. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said. Do you hear a doubt in her heart? Mary said, I believe you. So what happened then? Well, remember what happened to Zechariah when Zechariah was a little testy with Gabriel? Gabriel said, you're not going to be able to speak to the birth of your child because of that. And the scripture tells us after Gabriel gives the good news to Mary, then the angel left her. Said, that's it. What I have said to you, Mary, what I have said to you, Zechariah, Elizabeth, what I want you to know is when I said it's going to happen. So therefore, you two godly mothers are going to be brought together. And you're going to be brought together to glorify our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to point to the goodness of Almighty God, our Father. You're going to be brought together so that your offspring, those who will come from generation to generation, will be able to proclaim the love of God. God says, I love you. And God looks at us and he sees all the sin within the world we have. And God says to us, you cannot make it burdened down with that sin. Therefore, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. No, John, don't have a jumper pew? No. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Well, there's got to be more to it. There's got to be a different way. The more to it, folks, started back in Genesis. He said, here's the book. Here's the book of creation. Here's the book of salvation. Here's the book. I give it to you. It's my love letter book directly to you because I love you. And I'm going to get two godly mothers to bring it together. John the Baptist, Jesus, the Son of God. Time goes on. John is born. Think about this. The culture of the time. Folks, you fight the culture of our time. All of us do. Every generation is different. Every culture starts nailing us. But you would always name your son after a family member. Well, when they ask Elizabeth, the other priest, what name are you going to give? She said, John. And then Elizabeth is having problems with all of her friends. Well, you can't do that. There's no John in your genealogy even. And right at that point, Zechariah speaks. His name is John. Man, was there family problems. But when God says, this is the way it's going to be, accept it. Get out of our pettiness. Quit thinking, oh, I'm better than you are. Oh, no, I give it to you because it's your job. The reason the mothers today are having to raise so many children on their own is because the man is not fit to be there and too ornery to accept responsibility. Some mothers are that way. Folks, I got news for you. God's watching. You got me? God sees the heart. He sees where you're coming from, and He knows where we're going. And the Lord says, pay attention, for when I say it's going to happen, it's going to come to pass. But it's not going to come to pass according to us. You're not going to figure out when Jesus is coming again. You're not going to be able to understand the depth of sin. Nor will we be able to understand the depth of love of Almighty God, who looks at us, and how many times have we nailed His Son back to a cross? How many times have we turned our back on the only hope we have? I've never had Jesus turn His back on me. Oh, I've had Him correct me. I've had Him put me in time out for over a year. Now, time out from a parent's one thing. Time out from God is another. It's a wake-up call. And God said, world, wake up. Can you not find help somewhere else? And if you can't find help somewhere else, why aren't you talking to me? You say, oh, I can do it myself. Well, you're not doing too hot a job. You can say, I know more than everybody else. That's what we teenagers said when we were of that age. And it still comes today. Mom and Dad's not too bright, you know, until they get a little older. Mom, Dad, need a car. You all are pretty smart. But do you realize something, moms? That's why a generation lifts the moms up and holds them to a high esteem. You better do that. You better do that. You watch after them. You take care of them. For see, where they are today in age, you will be soon. Those moms gave you all of who they are. They gave you love. They fixed you up. They were your doctor. They were your psychologist. Everything. And God says, let me tell you something. I'm the one in charge. Not you men, nor you women. Me. And I will give glory to those who glorify my name, and I will hold them in high esteem. Brother Randy read it to you. Proverbs chapter 30 or 31. He read it to you. A worthy woman who can find. Folks, a worthy spirit who can find. God says, I'm going to look to your heart. I'm going to look to the depth of who you are. And I will tell you this, I have prepared a way for you. Now, Larry Pete, the way that I have on this path, nobody else can travel. Nobody can help you, Larry, but me. When the time comes for you to end your time on earth in that body, nobody can come with you, Larry. It's going to be me and you. But I want you to know something. I'm the one that gave you the path, and as long as you're on that path, I guarantee you, the world's going to hate you. They're going to try to kill you. They're going to entice you. They're going to do all manner of evil to pull you off that path, and you will falter. You will stumble, and throughout your life, you will either be knocked off the path or you'll just step off the path yourself. And then all of a sudden we recognize evil for what it is. Sin for what it is. All the people that promised you this, that, and everything else, all they did was take everything you had, even took away the strength you had. And you'll find yourself in the pig pen of life, as the prodigal son did. God lets that pig pen be there for us. I was talking to someone this week about, I guess God is giving me this misery and I'm suffering. I said, God doesn't give you suffering and misery. Are we not his children? Would you give suffering and misery to your child? How much more God would be ready and willing to pick us up anytime? Our sin, the sin of life, gives us misery. It's a snapshot back into the world to remind us, I'm the one who gave you the path. Get back on the path. And we step back on the path, but we look around us and we hold on to the baggage that we got when we got off of it. Two godly mothers united together. Though I got so excited when I was reading and studying and all of this on it, because I thought, oh man, can you see that? Jesus is first conviction of someone else and their salvation. Let me read it to you. You ready? Let me do the Mary believed God in her proclamation, Luke 1:38. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said. Then the angel left. Meeting of the two godly mothers. Here's what happened. They were related. I'm not going to get into all the cousin and stuff. Doesn't matter. They were related. And she went directly to where Elizabeth was. Here's something interesting for you. Do you know that Gabriel said, Elizabeth, your kinfolk, the one who they said is barren, is also with child. So Mary knew it before she went there. She's excited. And then she goes straight. I don't care what the movie showed you. She goes straight from that point, straight to Elizabeth's house. Listen to it. Luke 1:41. Now you got to remember the greeting. When you go into your friend's house or your kid's house, what do you say? I always say, it's me. Jason says, it's me. I don't know at any point one of these days when we're not going to understand who me is. But when Mary gets there, she's so excited. And picture her going through the door and saying, Elizabeth, I'm here. It's me. I knew what was going on with you, Elizabeth. I have a feeling you knew what was going on with me. Luke 1:41, when Elizabeth heard Mary's greetings, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Woo! I cannot believe that. Do you mean that God himself, in bringing these two godly women together, they got to witness the salvation of the Savior before us men did? It is not about men and women. It is not about the sensual activities of the human race, but it's about God our Father. It's about his Son and all those that encircled him. Good, bad, ugly. That takes in his disciples. And he said, it's about me loving you. He used two godly mothers to bring that together. Can't you imagine what the men in the area thought during all of this? Have both Elizabeth and Mary completely lost it? Why, you know, I think I heard them shout in there a while ago. Wonder what's going on? Revival. Revival. Do we not take a lesson from these two godly mothers? Do we not understand that we too can feel the excitement of the power of our Savior? It all began before He was born. The very beginning, the Scripture says, is before time began. Before anything was anything. Well, I don't understand that. Yeah, well, I don't understand a lot of things. And you know what that proves to me? There's a God. Let me tell you, if you're getting to the point in your life where you think you understand who God is and His power and all the power of Jesus, you got the wrong God, folks. God says, here I offer to you love. Zechariah doubted. Mary and Elizabeth did not. Godly mothers, God blessed you. Touched you. Touched your heart with a special touch. Before time began, God looked and He says, I'm going to use woman to bring my Son into the human race. Ladies, it sounds to me like you're pretty important to God. Was not Jesus that said, in the latter days, your daughters will prophesy? Yeah, but that ain't Baptist. Your young men will dream dreams. Your old men will see visions. Thus saith Jesus Christ, and we decide we're going to change it. Don't think you ought to touch that one. With respect, God says, one of you... Larry Pete, you might be the preacher, the pastor. But you need to understand something, folks. The Lord says, you're no walk no closer to me than anybody else does who has accepted my Son. You got that? God doesn't do that. He has one Son, one faith, one baptism. That's it. All of us. The greatest defender of women was Jesus Christ, the greatest love story ever told. You thank God for who you are and the opportunity He's given you to make a difference on the path He made for you. Let's pray. Father, we lift to You this day the heart of every mom, every young girl, and pray, Father, that You will place within the heart of the men, boys, that they will learn about and meet a respect that only You ushered in. You gave us freedom, Father, and all is Your choice. We thank You, Father, for choosing to come to take the guilt of punishment, the torture of our sin. And we praise You, Father, for the moms You chose in many different ways to raise that child in a way that's pleasing to You. Touch each heart, protect each family, Father. I lift every child to You, Father, every mother to You, every family to You. And I lift to You, Father, a broken nation. Thank You for bringing us to our knees so that we may truly look up from where our victory will be found. We ask a blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.